we're holding on Samach Amud Beis, the second line of the wide line, six lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday, we started talking about a person is worshiping Avodah Zarah, what he's chayav for. The general rules we established are in a Braisa, in the Mishnah and in a Braisa that explains the source of all of this, that there's four basic avodas for which a person is chayav, no matter whether these are the regular things to do for this particular avodah zarah or not. Shechting a korban, burning something, sprinkling or pouring or sprinkling something for the avodah zarah, and bowing. So those a person is always chayav for, whether that's the normal way of worshiping that avodah zarah or not. On the other hand, then you have other individual things for each avodah zarah where a person is chayav only for that particular thing, like going to the bathroom in front of or throwing stones at miracles. So let's analyze the braisa that we learned. Omar, now the first thing the braisa had said is when it says in this week's parasha, Zeveach Yochram, that anyone who sacrifices to other gods will be put to death. So if it hadn't said the word Lo'elekim, if it just said Zeveach Yochram, then the braisa says, Hoyisi, you would have thought the pasuk is talking about somebody who shechts korbanos outside of the Beis Hamikdash, where indeed we know from parasha Achrimos that such a thing is awesome. The question is, the question is, the Torah makes it very clear there that it's kores a person gets for that. So why would we think that our pasuk yochram, which means he should be destroyed, which means that Beis Din should execute him, how would that be? If he's going to get kores, then Beis Din's not executing him. So the answer is without the Braisa is telling us, you would have thought ki astru be ktola, maybe it means if they give him hasra ktola, then he's executed by Beis Din. Ki lo astru be, and if they don't give him hasra kores. In other words, it would be similar to there were a few other things in that way as well. Shabbos is another example. A person is mechallel Shabbos with edim v'asra, then he gets skila. If there's no Eidim Basra, then he gets Kores. So you would have thought that this thing of Shechting Korbanos outside the Beis Hamikdash, the Shchutei Chutz, as it's called, is maybe the same thing. Kamash Malan, therefore, note the Pasuk says with the word Lo Elekim that we're not talking about anything having to do with that. There's never Missas Beis Din for Shechting Korbanos outside the Beis Hamikdash, only Kores. As far as, by the way, you were asking yesterday, well, so first of all, there was the answer that it's Kores, but the Gemara in Zvachim deals with in great length, so we'll learn it next year. Be'ez Hashem, it has to be Roi La'avodas Pnim, it has to be that what's being shechted or offered outside the Beis Hamikdash has to be something that could have been brought as a korban inside the Beis Hamikdash, and the Gemara spends many dafim discussing the ins and outs of that. Okay. Okay, so that takes care of that part of the Braisa. Now, here's another part. The Braisa had said that we have, so again, we have two of the four avodas that we mentioned that are mentioned explicitly in the pasuk that they have to be done to Hashem and may not be done to Avodah Zarah. We had Zibuach, because the pasuk says Zeveach Lo'elekim, and you have Ishtachavah, because you have psukim that say, you have a pasuk that says Lois Ishtachavah L'Kelacher. Now, so we said the purpose of the two of them, Zvicha, is meant as Lalamad ala klal kulo yotze, is teaching us about the whole klal, that it means not only zvicha, but anything else that's done inside the Beis Hamikdash. And then we said ishtachava is meant for a different purpose, is telling us that these things apply whether this is the particular way of worshipping this avodah zarah or not. So omale rova bar Rav Chanan la'abaya, ema, why do we say that Zvicha is meant lalamed ala klal, and ishtachava is meant to teach us something else? Maybe say yotze ishtachava lalamed ala klal kulay. Maybe ishtachava is being singled out to teach us about the klal, and in that case, then it would include anything that's being done for covered to the avodah zarah. So then it would include the hugging and the kissing and the dressing and so forth, the whole catalog of things that we said in the Mishnah. The reason we're saying they're not included and they're only alive is because we're learning from zvicha and that it has to be something that's done in the Beis Hamikdash for Hashem. And hugging and kissing and so forth are not. Well, how do you know? Maybe we should learn from Ishtachava that all of them are included. And then at Zeveach Lomali, see, then you'd ask, well, then why would the Torah single out Zeveach? You could say Legufe, maybe it's needed to teach us something about the Shechting itself. Namely, the concept that it's possible for that a thought during one avoda regarding another avoda would be effective. Namely, de'itmar. What do we mean by that? We learn a machlokas amaroyim. Hashoychet behema lizrik doma lavodes kachovim or lahakto chel lavodes kachovim. Suppose a person is shechting an animal. He's not for the shechita itself. He's not doing it for avodah zarah, but he has in mind during the shechita that he's going to sprinkle the blood in honor of avodah zarah, or he's going to burn the fat in honor of avodah zarah. Is such a thing effective? Does that make it that now this is considered a korban to avodah zarah and therefore is also bahana? Rabbi Yochanan Omar Asura v'resh lokish Omar Muteres. Rabbi Yochanan says the whole thing will be osur and it will be osur bahana. The shechita was not there wasn't a problem with the shechita. But what if he doesn't actually go and end up sprinkling the blood or burning the fat for avodah zarah? Rabbi Yochanan holds. That nevertheless, that's effective. The reason is because the same way as we find by Kodshim, again, we're going to learn in Masechta Zvachim next year, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to learn in great detail that when a person, for example, a person shechts a korban and he has in mind that he's going to eat the meat, if it's a korban that's edible, tomorrow after the time when he's supposed to, for example, let's say it's a chatas, for example, and it's only supposed to be eaten today, and he has in mind he's going to eat it tomorrow. He's going to burn the fat on the Mizbeach tomorrow. Or he's going to sprinkle the blood tomorrow. In all those cases, the korban becomes pigul. That is the definition of pigul, is where he has what's called machsheves hazman, a wrong thought about the time of when he's going to do certain avodas of the korban. Well, Rabbi Yochanan says we learn from that the same thing applies to chulin. So in the case of chulin, then the machshava that would make it possible, that would make it also bahana, is this kind of thing where during the shechita he has in mind one of the other avodas that he's going to do for a getchka. Rish Lakish doesn't hold that we make that kind of comparison. Karbonos is one thing, but he says something, but by chulin we don't make that similar comparison. Tosfos points out now that even according to Rish Lakish, the animal would be also to eat, because the fact is the guy is now a mumul avodah zarah. So now and then mumul avodah zarah, somebody who's worshipping avodah zarah, his shchita is possible, as the Gemara discusses this point at the beginning of Chulin, and that's the halacha. It was actually in Tanya the other day as well. The Alter Rebbe mentioned it as an incidental point, So it would be also to eat. The question is, though, but according to Rish Lakish, it would be mutar b'hanah. Another possibility, though, Tosfos says, is you might even have, let's say, that this very shchita or this very intention is what's making him a mummer. So therefore, you could say that maybe the shchita itself is still kosher because the shchita itself was not in honor of avodah zarah. Whatever the case, the point is, so sort of Acha Brei de Rava is say, so Rava Bar Rav Chanan is saying to Abaya that maybe what it is from Zeveach we learn that concept, this din that Rabbi Yochanan is saying, namely, in other words, then we would slog up Rish Lakish with it, and Ishtachava teaches us that anything that's being done to a Getchke that's honorable, which therefore would include hugging, kissing, etc., would also make him Chayav Misa. Why don't we learn that way? So that's the question. Hanichal Rabbi Yochanan. So it works out well according to Rabbi Yochanan. That he's learning from Zeveach. Elo l'Rish Lakish boi kra. But according to Rish Lakish, doesn't he need a pasuk to tell us that? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, in other words, the question is that we have the word Zeveach and we're using it l'lamad al klal rather than using it for this derasha. So it would mean Rabbi Yochanan would say, listen, as far as learning that it's possible that we can that he can learn from Kodshim. As far as the fact that a person would be chayav misa for that he can learn, in fact, from the word zeveach. But according to the Shlokish, we're saying that the animal is not even also bahana. So then maybe indeed the word zeveach is coming to teach us, not like he says, mechashven ma'avoda la'avoda. In fact, it is possible to, in other words, because the Shlokish would say, listen, I can't learn it from korbanos, but maybe he should learn it from the word zeveach. So how do we know that we're not using the word zeveach for that purpose? Maskeflor Papa. Well, Rapapa asks back on Rapapa asks, so you're telling me, so Rava Barav Chonan, you're asking the question specifically on Rish Lakish. Rapapa points out, really, you could ask the question on Rabbi Yochanan as well. Ula Rabbi Yochanan loy boy kra. You're telling me according to Rabbi Yochanan, you wouldn't need the pasuk. According to him, you'd also need the pasuk. Ad kan like Amar Rabbi Yochanan ela behema, because after all Rabbi Yochanan is saying is the animal itself is also bana, because it's considered a korban of avodah zara. Avo gavra lavak tolahu, but Rabbi Yochanan never said the person is chayiv misa. After all, a person is not chayiv misa for creating pig oil. A person shechts a korban having in mind is going to sprinkle the blood or eat the meat or whatever the next day. The korban is posel, and anybody who eats it is chayiv kares, but the person himself who made a pigle is not chayiv misa for it. So therefore, so if Rabbi Yochanan is learning from there, he wouldn't have a source that the person's chayiv misa either. So you could very well say then that according to Rabbi Yochanan, the word zeveach is coming to tell us that he's chayiv misa. So that being the case, then both according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, we should say that we're using the word zeveach for that purpose, and therefore we don't have it available to teach us that it means specifically nisuch and kitur that a person would be chayav misa for. And the Gemara says on the other way around. On the other way around, though, we could point out that the pasuk is not needed even according to Rish Lakish. And that will answer our question, namely Maskef of Acha Breidir of Ika. So of Acha Breidir of Ika says, on the other hand, Ulur Shlokish Mi Boy Kra. Listen, you Rava Bar of Chanan are asking that according to Rishlokish, on the face of it, the Posik Zeveach is needed to teach us this point, that Mechashvin Me'avoda La'avoda. But the question is, would you actually need it according to Rishlokish? Ad Kan like Shori Rishlokish Ela Behema. You could argue the other way around. Rishlokish, after all, is only saying that the animal itself remains mutter, because he's saying that it's not like pigle, because you don't learn chutz from pnim, chulin from kodshim. Avo gavra b'aktolahu, but you could very well argue that even according to Rish Lakish, the person is in fact chayav misa. You wouldn't need a special posik for that because the fact is he did shech the animal, having in mind that he's going to do one of its avodas for avodah zara. You're going to say, then how could the animal be mutter b'hanah? No problem, says Rav Acha Breide Ravika. Midi dehavi amashtach v'lahar. Compare it to the case of a person who bows to a mountain. A natural mountain, you have, for example, let's say Mount Fuji in Japan as an example of that. Some of the people over there actually consider it one of their getchkes. So suppose a person were to bow to that mountain. The mountain itself is mutabana because we have a rule which we've touched on earlier in the Masechta. We're going to learn in more detail in Masechta Avodah Zarah, Be'ez Hashem, called the Pasuk says that you have to destroy all of the gods of the nations when you come into Eretz Yisrael. You have to destroy all the getchkas that are on the mountains. So we learn from that that whatever's on the mountains you need to destroy, but the mountains themselves remain mutabana. Elikeim alahorim, they're gods which are on the mountains. V'loi hahorim elikeim, but not when the mountains themselves are their gods, you're not obligated to destroy those mountains. You are also to use stones from such mountains to build a mizbeach for Hashem, because that's considered disgusting to use such a thing for Hashem, but for cholin purposes, it's fine. So the mountain remains mutter, v'ovda b'sayif, and yet somebody who worships a mountain is still, if like any other avodah zarah, he would be chayiv misa. So there's your answer, therefore. So there's your answer. Just because the thing remains mutter b'hanah doesn't mean the person is not chayiv misa for it. Very well, then. Rish Lakish might well say, yes, the person is chayiv misa in this case. All he's saying is that the animal doesn't become osa b'hanah. Whether it would be also to eat or not would depend on the two answers in Tosfos. But in any case, the point is that, so that's your answer, therefore. So we don't, in fact, need the word zeveach to teach us that the person is chayiv misa for it, neither according to Rish Lakish nor according to Rabbi Yochanan, because that's a given. Of course, he did an action for Avodah Zarah, which is one of the four Avodas, and he had in mind a different one. So he for sure is Chayiv Misa. So therefore, we don't use the word Zeveach for that. Therefore, after all, we do have the word Zeveach, and we use it, as we learned yesterday, the Lamed al Klal Kulay, to learn that other things that are done in the Beis Mikdash for Hashem, namely Nisuch and Kittur, are things that a person is Chayiv Misa for doing for Avodah Zarah, but not the hugging and the kissing, etc. Okay. So let's continue. Let's analyze within what Rav Bar Rav Chanan had asked. Amalei Rav Acha Medifti L'Ravina. L'may Deka Amalei Rav Bar Rav Chanan La'abaya. Let's analyze further this logic that that Rava Bar Rav Chanan had started by asking Abaye. He had asked that how do you know that we don't learn from Ishtachava more generally that it means anything that's done in honor of the Avodah Zarah, in which case it would include the hugging and kissing. He had said, Ema Yotze Ishtachava Lalaman Al Klal Kuloi. We have to ask. Fine, we pointed out that we can't accept his possibility because that would mean that we're not using the word zeveach to teach us that a person is chayev misa in a case of me'avoda la'avoda, and we established that we don't need that. But the question is, what was Rav Bar Rav Chanan thinking in another way? You have like this. The pasuk says Eicha Yavdu. The pasuk which we talked about yesterday. There's a pasuk in Parashas Re'eh that says you might start thinking Eicha Yavdu. How do these other nations worship their gods? And I'm going to do the same thing. Now, in context, the pasuk is saying something like don't think to do these things to Hashem. Whatever kinds of disgusting things. The pasuk mentions, for example, they would sacrifice their children to Getchkas. Don't you dare think you do that to Hashem. But we also learn from that pasuk Eicha Yavdu that it means that whatever avoda is the normal way of worshiping a particular avoda zara is also osur and chayev misa for a yid. So the question would be if Rav Bar Rav Chanan is going to say that anything that's done that he's going to learn from Ishtachava that anything that's done in honor of a getchka makes a person chayev misa, well then you have to ask how would he think that in the first place? Eicha yavdu l'mo'otimai. Then what would we be excluding from the words eicha yavdu? In other words, the point of that is that whatever the normal way of worshiping this particular getchka is, and we learn from that only kedarka, but not shaloi kedarka. But if you're going to tell me that from Ishtachava, you're going to learn that anything that's done in honor of the getchka, for example, hugging or kissing, is chayav even shaloi kedarka. Or you're going to say that it means that you have an avodah zarah that's normally worshipped in an honorable way, and instead he'd be worshiping it in a dishonorable way, like worshiping it like you would, like a person would worship or going to the bathroom in front of it. So what would it be? So what would be the point? What would we be excluding from those words? Eicha yavdu. If according to Rav Bar Rav Chanan's svara, we would say that we learn any kind of honorable avodah from the words from Hishtachava by binyanav. Then what's left to learn from Eicha yavdu? Now, Tosfos and other Rishonim bring up the point. Why is the question only we learn from Ishtachava? So we learn from Zvicha. Fine. What are we learning from Eicha Yavdu? We know that we know therefore that it means that it means that only avodas that are avodas pnim that are. Only avodas that are avodas pnim, only the three that we mentioned in the Mishnah. Therefore, eicha yavdu would have to include, for example, it would include when it goes to the bathroom in front of Pa'ur, etc. Fine, you don't learn those. But the question is, why are we asking? What do you mean eicha yavdu l'mo'otimai? Isn't it clear what we learn from eicha yavdu? If it weren't for that, you would have thought that maybe the definition of avodah zarah is only when you're doing something honorable in front of a getchka. You wouldn't know. Without that pasuk, that going to the bathroom in front of Pa'ur is chayiv misa. So why is the Gemara only asking according to Rav Bar Rav Chanan when it should be asking according to everybody? Why is the Gemara assuming that according to him the word eicha yavdu is extra and we need something to daushin from it? What else according to everybody it has to be teaching us something, namely that the kedarka, even when it's a way of bizoyin, is still also in chayiv misa. So Tosfos' answer is that no, if we were learning from Ishtachava, then we would really say that it means that we wouldn't need a separate pasuk to say, for example, going to the bathroom in front of Pa'ur is chayav misa, because we would still learn it from Ishtachava. It's derech bizoyin. It doesn't matter. This is the way. This avodah zarah is worship, and therefore you would think that therefore you would know right away from Ishtachava that it's also. In other words, you would say the rule is Ishtachava. From it, we would learn, as Rav Bar Rav Chanan says, anything that's derech kavod. But fine, we would say for this particular avodah zarah, this kind of thing is considered derech kavod. Because it's avodas b'kach, you wouldn't really need the pasuk eicha yavdu to teach us that. Different other rishonim have different understandings of what the Gemara's question is and what the answer is. The Baal Amor says, listen, you would have thought like this, that the question is, let's say, for example, let's say you have an avodah zarah where the normal way of worshipping it is by kissing it. So then a person obviously is chayav misa for kissing it. What if instead he hugs it? So then it's not one of the four avodas. It's not something that's normally done for Hashem. It's also not something that's normally done for this getchka. On the other hand, the fact is, it is something in honor of the avodah zarah. So then you would say that. So if we're learning from Zeveach, then you're saying that it means excluding that, because the difference is this is not the kind of avodah done for Hashem in the Bais Mikdash. And then you could say also, for example, let's say you have Pa'ur or Merkulis, which are normally worshipped in a degrading way. So you would say that now if a person hugs or kisses it, then he'd be Potter, because that's the opposite of the way this Getchke is usually sued. But what about, again, you have one that's normally kissed and he hugs it, or vice versa, you would have thought, so if we're going to learn from Zeveach, you would have thought he's Chayev, and Eicha Yavdu comes that not. But if you're going to tell me that you're learning from Ishtachava, which is what Rav Bar Rav Chana is thinking, then maybe we should say that in fact, if he hugs an avodah zarah that's normally kissed, or vice versa, then he is chayev. And if we're saying that he's potter, then what are we learning from Eicha Yavdu exactly? That's according to the Baal Amor. Then the Ravid goes in further in that, and then explains that's not really a question. The question is basically that on the one hand, we could learn from Zeveach, on the other hand, we could learn from Ishtachava. So according to him, if he's going to think that we're learning from Ishtachava, then why shouldn't we instead learn from Zeveach and say that such a thing would be potter? Okay. So in any case, the question in the Gemara is that Rav Achami Difti is asking, according to, if he's going to say that you learn from Ishtachava, then what are we excluding from the words Eicha Yavdu, which means that when something is Kedarka for a certain Getchka, that he's Chayav for that, what would that be excluding? You're going to tell me that it's talking about, let's say, an Avodah Zarah that's normally worshipped by sacrificing to it, an honorable thing, and instead a person goes to the bathroom in front of it, which is a degrading thing, and you're going to say that from Eicha Yavdu you learn he's potter. You don't need that. Mishtachava nafka. You could learn that already from Ishtachava. My Ishtachava derech kibud, I've called derech kibud. Just like Ishtachava is an honorable thing, the same way, when would he be chayev? Only something that honors the Avodah Zarah. Ella, so you're going to say, Lama'uti, Hapoyer Atzmi L'merkulus. You're going to say, fine, but let's say you have an Avodah Zarah that's normally worshipped in a degrading way, and he does a different degrading thing to it. You're going to say, let's say, for example, there's an Avodah Zarah Merkulus, which, as we said in the Mishnah, is normally worshipped by throwing stones at it, and instead he goes to the bathroom in front of it. And the point is, according to Rav Bar Rav Chanan Svara, why would you need Eicha Yavdu, which tells us that when a person worships an Avodah Zarah in a normal way, then he's Chayav Misa, you would say, we're learning from that. You would think, Sakhadat Khamenei, you would have thought, after all, the normal way of worshipping Merkulis is with one kind of Bizoyan, Afkol Bizoyan, therefore maybe any kind of Bizoyan would make him Chayav Misa. In other words, the same logic, as we would say, for example, that an Avodah Zarah that's normally worshipped by sacrificing, a person is also chayav for bowing, because both of those are honorable things, the same way you would say the other way around, an Avodah Zarah that's normally worshipped in a degrading way, and he does a different degrading thing, also might make him chayav, kamash malon, and therefore the pasuk Eicha Yavdu would tell us that not. The problem with that is, if we're going to learn that way, Ella hadu amar Rabbi Eliezer. What about this that Rabbi Eliezer says? Aside of here, it says it should be the reader of Elazar. Anyway, minayim lezeveach behemel merkulus shu chayim. How do we know a person sacrifices an animal to merkulus that he would be chayev? Now remember, merkulus is normally worshipped in a degrading way, and here he's doing an honorable thing to it, shechting an animal in its honor. How do we know that nevertheless he's chayev? Shenema, because the pasuk says, "V'lo yizbuchu oides zivcheihem la'seirim." Never again should the Jewish people sacrifice offer their sacrifices to seirim. Seirim basically means goats, but it means shadim, which often appear in the form of goats. So it means any power other than Hashem. Im eina inim l'tkidarka. Now you don't need that pasuk to tell us that he would be chayev, that he would be osir, when it's kedarka, when that's the normal way of worshipping an Avodah Zarah, dichtiv Eicha Yavdu, because for that you have the pasuk Eicha Yavdu that says that how do they worship their getchkes, and I'm going to do the same thing. Therefore, tneu inin l'shaloi kedarka. So we can apply this pasuk to where it's shaloi kedarka, where it's not normal to sacrifice to this Avodah Zarah, and in fact it's usually worshipped in a way of bizoyin. So then you would say that the chiddush is that nevertheless, now you can't learn that from Zeveach Lelekim, because Zeveach Lelekim, would Tosfos points out, would mean getchkas that are served in an honorable way. Here you're talking about merkulos, which is served in a dishonorable way. So you would think, therefore, you're not, so you would think, therefore, a person's not chayev. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss the details within that between mechubadim and mevuzim. The point is, in other words, the basic point is that we need a separate pasuk to teach us that when it comes to merkulos, which is normally worshipped in a degrading way, that if a person were to shecht a korban to it, which is an honorable thing, that he would be chayev. So you're learning that from this pasuk. So since you don't need it for kedarka, because for that you have Eicha Yavdu, Tnei Inin L'Shaloi Kedarka, therefore instead you apply it to the case of Shaloi Kedarka. So even in Avodah Zarah, which is normally worshipped in a way of Bizoyin. As far as the Chiyuv Misa, that we learn from, as far as the Chiyuv Misa, that we learn from Zeveach Lelekim Yochram. So again, Tosfos points out that you may need two different psukim, one to tell us for Kedarka, one to tell us for Shaloi Kedarka, as far as the Azhara, as far as the warning, but the Oynesh we can learn from the same pasuk, Zeveach Lelekim Yochram. So therefore, so Rabbi Lazar is saying that point. So now the question is, according to Rava Bar Rav Chanan, why would we need that? Shaloi kedarka meishtachava or nafka? Wouldn't he, according to his svara, according to his hava amina, that we're learning from ishtachava that anything that honors the getchka is osur and chayev misa? Well, then we would learn that from ishtachava. We don't need a separate pasuk to teach us this concept that if he sacrifices to merkulos, he's chayev. And the answer is that's the difference, because hosam bezeveach lahachis. Because when it comes to sacrificing to merkulos, you could say that we're talking about he's doing it only in order to anger, in order to he's doing it davka aftzalochus to anger Hashem, not because he actually wants to accept the getchke, not because he wants to accept this getchke as a god on himself. So therefore, so we need it. So even according to Rabbi Bar Rav Chanan, we would have needed a separate pasuk to teach us that. So he would say, anything that's being done to honor the Getchke, that we would learn from Ishtachava, and that would apply even, and anything, and even if it's a dishonorable Getchke, like Merkulus, we would still learn from the Pasuk, V'lo Yizbuchu Oides Zivchayim. But you need another case also, where he's Lahachis, where he's doing it specifically to anger Hashem, and not because he actually thinks that this Avodah Zarah is his God, and therefore, according to him, you would need, so that's the thing. According to him, you would learn from V'lo Yizbuchu, you would learn that as well. According to him, normally you would learn any case where he's doing it to honor the Getchke, you're learning from Ishtachava. But then you have, what about if he's doing it not to honor the Getchke, but only in order to anger Hashem? Then you need a different pasuk v'lo yizbuchu oid in order to learn that. That's one way of explaining what the Gemara means. Another possibility, the Yad Ramah brings that lahachis may mean to anger Merkulos. He's thinking that Merkulos itself likes to be worshipped in this degrading way, and now instead he's going to aftzalochus. He's going to do it in an honorable way. So that you can't learn from Ishtachava, because at least Ishtachava is meant as an honor to that particular Avodah Zarah, and here he's trying to dishonor the Avodah Zarah by doing davka, something that the Avodah Zarah would consider to be it's not its normal way of worship, and that it doesn't like, so to speak. So therefore, according to him, we need a separate pasuk for that. V'lo yizbuchu oides zivchayim. That even so, even the seirim don't want to be worshipped in this honorable way. Nevertheless, a person is still chayev for doing so. So that's all within Rava Bar Rav Chanan's svara. On the other hand, we said before that no, it's not so. The fact is that we do need the word zeveach to teach us that is chayev for the other types of avodas, and again, we can't use zeveach to teach us that a person is chayev misa for shechting when he thinks of something else, when he's thinking to serve a getchke with some other avoda, because even both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish would agree he certainly is chayev misa for that. You don't need another pasuk for that. Rather, the question is whether the animal is mutar b'hano, would it be similar to worshiping a mountain or not? But we definitely need the word zeveach. We can't use it for that drasha. So therefore, we have to use it for the drasha about the lamed al klal kulo yotza, that it teaches us that any avoda which is similar to zeveach, he's chayav misa, no matter what avoda zara we're talking about, namely those three zibuach, kitur, and nisuch. And then from Ishtachva, we're learning something else, that this applies, that these things apply across the board, whether we're talking about a normal avoda zara or a miraculous or what have you. Okay. Like, Mara continues on this topic. Okay, so now we talked about in the Mishnah. Now let's go on to another point. We had in the Mishnah the case where a person says about a getchka keli ata, you are my God. So let's talk about that. That a person verbally says that he's going to worship Avodah Zarah. What effect does that have exactly? So the Gemara tells Rav Hamnuna irkusele tori. Rav Hamnuna one time lost some oxen. Actually, you know what? Before we get into that, interesting, might as well point out at this point we've been talking about Pa'ur and Merkulis. Where did this Avodah Zarah Pa'ur come in the first place? That a person goes to the bathroom in front of Pa'ur and that should be considered an Avodah. So there's two major explanations about it: one in Chassidus and one in Nigla that I know of. The Nigladika one, I think it's Rav Shamshon of Fall Hirsch, has the explanation that basically the people who worship this Getchka took the view that a person is just another kind of animal. And where do we see most strongly the way in which a person is like an animal is going to the bathroom. They go to the bathroom, we go to the bathroom. So therefore, they made an Avodah Zarah out of that, celebrating the corporeality, the physicality of man, and that became their Avodah Zarah. I once saw a vote on that said that this particular part of the vote, I don't think it's from Shamshon or Fall, I don't remember who it's from, but says that in a way, those who believe in evolution are doing the same kind of thing as Pa'ur, therefore, they're also saying that man is just another animal. Anyway, then you have an explanation in Chassidus, that's a famous explanation that was brought by Mashpiim, that the early worshippers of this Getchka would be in such a frenzy when they would worship it, such a frenzy of they're so into it, they're so excited by worshipping it, that they would lose control of their bodily functions, so they'd end up going to the bathroom in front of it involuntarily. Their descendants after them saw that. They didn't have the same excitement, but they saw our ancestors went to the bathroom in front of it, so we should do the same thing. And Mashpiim would say from that, you see from that, for example, when we have like this among Chassidim, it's common to daven late, for example. The early Chassidim would be davening late because they'd be spending hours learning Chassidus and preparing for davening. But then in our times, when a person instead just wakes up and late and then davens late and uses the excuse that the early Chassidim did the same thing, then that's in a way kind of the same mistake as the worshippers of Pa'ur. All right, onward with the Gemara. Rav Hamnuna irkusele tori. Rav Hamnuna one time lost some oxen. And as he was going around looking for them, Poga Bey Rabba, Rabba met up with him, Romale Masnissin Ahadodi, and Rabba pointed out to him a contradiction between Mishnayos. Why are we mentioning, why focus on the point that Rav Hamnuna had lost his oxen? The point is, the Yad Ramah says, you see how you would think he was very distracted, he's focused on finding his oxen, nevertheless, there's always time for Torah, he would always be ready to focus on Torah and set aside whatever else it is that he's dealing with. So Rabbah points out, now in our Mishnah, we said, we said a person worships Avodah Zarah, then that means only Ovid Ein, so only if he actually worships it in all the ways that we've been talking about so far, the four main Avodas, or whatever is normal for this Avodah Zarah. Ein, then yes, he's Chayav Misa. Oimer Loi, but it sounds like if he just says, I'm going to worship Avodah Zarah, then he's not yet Chayav Misa. The problem is, V'hanan T'nan, later on in our perek, when we talk about the dinim of a mesis, we're going to say ha'omer ervoid, that a person, a mesis, a person is trying to convince other people to worship Avodah Zarah. So he says, ervoid, I will go worship Avodah Zarah, and he's saying it in a way where he's saying it in a way where he's trying to convince other people to go along with him. So many of the Rishonim learn, in other words, that exactly that. When he says Ervoid, then it means that he's considered a Mesis. The Yad Ramah talks about that maybe he's considered a Nisas. Maybe he's considered that he's convinced himself, and therefore for that reason alone he'd be Chayav Misa. Whatever the case, the Mishnah says he's Ervoid, Eilech ve'Ervoid. He says, I will go and worship, but the fact is he hasn't actually gone and worshipped yet. So then already here, Neilech ve'Navod. He says to others, let us go and worship. And each one is a bigger chiddush than the other one. Ervoid means I will worship it. So actually, Rashi says it means that it means like this. It means the mesis said, we're talking about the mesis says to another person, come, you want to worship Avodah Zarah? And the other guy answers, sure, Ervoid, I'll worship it. And even if he says Eilech the Eved, I will go and worship it, which implies, therefore, there's still going to be done. He might not end up going. Even Nelech the Navod, he might say, let us go, we will go and worship, where those other people might not end up agreeing with him. Nevertheless, he's still chayev in all those cases, because as soon as he listens to the Mesis, the point is, the Torah actually brings, the Torah says, when a Mesis is trying to convince you to worship Avodah Zarah, the Torah says, loy soiva loy, you're not allowed to agree with him. So if he agrees with him, then already for that he's chayev. So we see that just saying that he's going to worship Avodah Zarah already makes him chayev. So why is our Mishnah saying ha'oved, which implies that he has to worship? Amalei, said Rav Hamnuna, answers that our Mishnah is talking about ba'omer eni makabloi alai ela ba'avoida, because the person is saying I'm not yet. When he says I will worship it, then he becomes chayev right away. But if he's saying I'm not yet ready to accept it, but when I do this avoida, then with that I'll be accepting it. So you can't say that he agreed until. So you can't say that he agreed, and he'd be chayev misa until he actually does the avoida. In other words, you can't say again when the Torah says lo soiva lo velo tishma elav, don't listen to him, don't pay him any attention. So if the person just says sure, I'll go worship this Getchka, then that makes him chayev already. That would be what the later Mishnah in our Perek says. Our Mishnah is saying. That he's saying that, but our Mishnah is saying, it sounds like a good idea, but you know what? I'll wait until I do the Avoida, and then with that Avoida, I'll accept it. Well, then until he does that Avoida, he's not actually accepting it. You can't say that he was over on Lo Soiva Lo Velo Sishma Elav. So he wouldn't yet be Chayiv Misa for that. Tosfos actually learns a little differently, that once he says Evod amounts to accepting it on himself as a Getchka, and that itself is a problem, because that would be, like we said in our Mishnah, where he says Keliata. On the other hand, if he's saying, I'm not going to accept it until I actually worship it, well, then he hasn't yet accepted it as God. Okay, so Rav Hamnuna reconciles the Mishnah that way. However, Rabbi Yosef says, why do you need such an answer? Tanoi shaklet me'alma. Have you taken all the Tanoim out of the world? In other words, you think you have to fend for this according to everybody. Tanoihi. There's actually a machlokas Tanoim on this, and therefore it's easy enough to say that our Mishnah goes like one Tana, and the later Mishnah goes like a different one. D'tanya, we learn in a brisa, ha'oimer boyu v'ivduni. What if a person says to other people, come worship me? So he wants to make himself, a getchke, like we have, we're going to talk about later on in the Gemara, we're going to talk about what Haman did, for example. So he says, come worship me. Rab Meir makes him chayev misa as a mesis. Rabbi Yehuda poiter, and Rabbi Yehuda says he's potter. Now, Rabbi Yosef says, Heicha the Polchu, where they actually worshipped him and bowed to him or brought Avodah Zarah to him or whatever he made up as the rituals for him, Kol Amalei Pligi, then everybody would agree that he himself is Chayav Misa. Dichtiv Loi Sasa L'Chalfesel. The Pasuk says, and Aseres HaDibros, don't make for yourself a statue, and that includes don't make yourself into a statue, don't make yourself into an Avodah Zarah. So there's no question that if they actually worshipped him, he would be a Mesis. Ki pligi b'dibura ba'alma. The machlokas of Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef explains, would be just he said it. He said, come worship me, and everybody and nobody paid him any attention. Is that enough to make him a Mesis? Now, keep in mind, by an actual Mesis, it doesn't require that the other person actually listens to him. If the other person listens to him, both of them are going to be chayav misa. But we're going to learn later on in the perek that if a person is mesis and the other person refuses it, then the mesis is still chayav misa. So over here, he's telling other people, come worship me. And the question is, does that make him a mesis or not? Rav Meir sava dibura milsihi. Rav Meir holds that just the saying, come worship me, is enough to make him chayav misa. Rabbi Yehuda Sava Dibura Lav Milsi. He was Rabbi Yehuda holds this kind of saying is not enough to make him Chayiv Misa. It would be one thing if he's telling them to worship an established Avodah Zarah, but here we're talking about where he himself is saying I'm going to become an Avodah Zarah. So that would be the Machlokas. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos points out that Tosfos learns a little differently, that the when we talk about Dibura Ba'alma would mean if the other person says yes. The question would be, when the other person says yes, does that make him Chayav Misa, or
Rabbi Yehuda says that unless he actually does it, then the dibur is not anything. So the point is, in other words, Rabbi Yosef is saying, you see, there's machlokas tanoim on this point where a person just says something verbally, the mesis according to Rashi, the nisus according to Tosfos. However, then Rabbi Yosef says, Hodr, Omer Rabbi Yosef, lav milsehi da'amri. Rabbi Yosef then actually says, you know what? What I said was not actually correct. After all, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, he would be chayev just for saying the Tanan or the Tanya. Really, this is a brisa. Rabbi Yehuda ad and la olam ein chayev ad she yoimar evoid elach ve'evoid nelach ve'navoid. Rabbi Yehuda says that when a person, this case that we're talking about over here, where he says where he says. Where other people are trying to be maces him, where other people are trying to convince him to worship Avodah Zarah, and he says, sure, Avod, I'll worship Eilach ve'Avod, Neilach ve'Navod. So it's clear that when Rabbi Yehuda says that the so when Rabbi Yehuda says that the speech is not doesn't count for anything, he obviously doesn't mean this kind of case. It's true that a person were to answer the maces and say, yes, I will worship Avodah Zarah, that itself makes him chayev. So what about in the previous case where so what about the previous case where he tried to get them to worship himself? But my kamifta gibi mesis la'atzmai. The machloikas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir would be strictly where he's trying to be mesis them to worship him himself. Va'amilei ein, and they said yes. That would be there was a va'amilei ein kamifta gibi. That would be the argument. Mar sova mesis la'atzmai shamilei. Rabbi Meir holds when he's maces them to worship him himself, then people would make people might well listen to him and start worshiping him. So when they the ain de kamile, and when they tell him the word ain, yes, kushtahu, then it's true. They actually sincerely mean with that to with that to worship him. Umar Sover, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds Mesis La'atzmei LeShamilei, people are not going to seriously pay attention to him when he's saying worship me because they're going to say he's just a person like any other person. Meima Amri, they're going to say to themselves, Ma'ishna Ihu Minan Didan. Why is he any different than us? We don't worship ourselves. Why should we? Why is he a god any more than us? So therefore, the Ein Dekami, when they're saying to him, yes, Achochi, Achochi Alei, they're just sort of laughing at him. They're saying sarcastically, sure. So Rabbi Yehuda would hold. So Rabbi Yehuda would hold, if they're sincerely saying yes, then sure, they're chayiv misa for it. But here they're saying yes sarcastically, and that's where Rabbi Yehuda patters them. Again, Rashi explains that the whole discussion over here is about whether the mesis is chayiv. Tosfos says the question is also whether the nisas, the one who they're trying to convince, whether he's chayiv for saying that. In any case, the point is, so how do we reconcile the two Mishnayos, where we started the whole discussion that Rav Hamnuna had pointed out in our Mishnah, it seems to require that he actually worships the Getchke, whereas in the later Mishnah, it's enough that he says, I will worship it. And we see that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with that as well. Or Masnissin, as far as the Mishnah, as far as how to reconcile the two Mishnayos, the answer is can be yochid anisus, can be rabim anistasim. There's a difference whether we're talking about an individual who someone is trying to convince to worship Avodah Zarah versus where it's a rabim. The difference is yochid loy mimlach, because a yochid, once he agrees to worship Avodah Zarah, he's less likely to change his mind. V'toy bastre, and therefore he's going to wind up getting misled by the mesis and going and worshiping Avodah Zarah. So the Torah is machayev him for that alone. Rabbim mimlchi, but when you have a rabbim that are trying to be convinced, it's more likely that they're going to change their mind at some point among the group. Somebody is saying, wait a minute, what are we doing over here? So they're less likely to actually get misled by him and worship Avodah Zarah. So just by saying Nelech v'Navod is not enough to make them Chayav Misa yet. They actually have to worship it in order to be Chayav Misa. So that would be a different way of reconciling the Mishnayos. Now, it is true that the later Mishnah in Or Masechta does say where the person replies to the Mesis, he says, Nelech v'Navoid. So that's plural. The Oruch HaNer explains that the Nelech over there means I and you will go and worship together. So we're still talking about one individual, we're still talking about two individuals, and he's saying, Nelech, you know what, that's a good idea. You're telling me to worship Avodah Zarah, come, let's you and I go do that. So then that makes him Chayiv Misa. As opposed to here we're talking about, according to this last answer that we're saying in the Gemara, we're saying that the Mesis comes to a group of people and says, come, let's worship Avodah Zarah. Then Rabbi Yosef is saying, even if they say, sure, let's go worship, that doesn't make them Chayiv Misa yet, because between when they say it and when they actually do it, somebody is likely to pull themselves together and say, wait a minute, what are we doing over here? That's according to Rashi. The Ran actually learns the other way around. He has the girsa the other way around in the Gemara. A yochid is likely to think for himself and to say, you know what? Wait a minute, what am I doing over here? As opposed to the rabbim, you often have the madness of crowds. The crowd is doing it, and he's likely to go along with it, even if he has his misgivings, and therefore there's more reason to be mechayev by a rabbim who are hearing from a mesis rather than individuals. So that's the girsa of the Ran. Okay, the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yosef Menah Minala. Where do I get this, that it's possible for a person to be Chayav Misa just for saying that he's going to worship Avodah Zarah? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says, as we said before, don't agree with the Mesis and don't listen to him, implying Ha'ovav Hashama Chayav. So implying if he did agree with him and if he did listen to him, then he would be Chayav. So that proves, in other words, so that proves that even that only if of Avashama, so that's what we said before, according to Rashi, the distinction is, therefore, the Rabbim, even though they say, sure, let's do it, is not necessarily a solid agreement, because they're likely to change their mind at some point, and according to the Ram, the other way around. So the point is, Rabbi Yosef says, when we have reason to say that the person's declaration, I will do it, is in fact going to be carried through, then Rabbi Yosef says, we can learn from this pasuk that already he's Chayiv Misa for that alone. As soon as he listens and pays attention to the Mesis, then already he's Chayev. Esve Abaya, but Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, Mi shiny ben nisus derabim lunisus yochid. You're telling me then that there's a difference between Rabbim and a Yochid, where according to Rashi, a Yochid would be Chayev as soon as he says yes to the Mesis and Rabbim not, and according to the Ram, the other way around. Is there in fact that difference? For Hatanya, we learn in a Braisa. The Posuk says about a Mesis, Ki yisischa ochicha venimecha. The Posuk says if your brother, the son of your mother, comes and tries to convince you, and it gives a whole list of relatives over there. Now, the Posuk doesn't specify whether the ochicha venimecha is talking to one person or many people. So echad yochid anisis ve'echad rabim anisosim. So that would include whether the ochicha venimecha is referring, is talking to one person or many people. Cute thing, by the way, the Baal HaTurim says on that part. Now, why it says ochicha venimecha, the Gemara explains, and Mefoshim explained, because it means your mother, your brother from your mother's side is going to be closer to you than a brother from your father's side later on in the Masechta. I think the Gemara is going to talk about the point, because after all, your brother from your father's side, you might think to yourself, well, he wants to yaushin me, therefore he wants to get me killed, as opposed to your brother from your mother's side is never going to be in line to yaushin you anyway, so you might think he's talking really something that's good for you, and therefore the Torah is saying don't listen to him. And the Gemara in Kedushin also learns from it a detail about the halachas of Yichud, but the Baal HaTurim says on an acute thing that it's also hinting at the Christian's guy. He is, after all, ochicha, he's a fellow Yid, but he's Beni Mecha. He's only on his mother's side is he from your brothers, because his father, as we know, was a Roman soldier who was Mazana with his mother, as we're going to talk about later on in our Perek. So the Pasuk is hinting that when ochicha Beni Mecha, this Yozel fellow comes along, who's your brother from your mother's side, but not your father's side, don't pay any attention to him and the new religion that he's trying to found over there. Anyway, the point is the Braisa says echad yochid anisus ve'echad rabim anisosim. So from the posuk, it doesn't specify. So it would mean whether it's an individual that the Mesis is speaking to or whether it's rabim. But then the Torah gives us an exception and says that the Yochid has a posuk of his own where it describes Vayelech Vayabed Elokim Acherim, where the posuk describes an individual person goes and worships Avodah Zarah and he gets skila. The rabbim, the klal yochid, and we have also an exception of the rabbim against the yochid, where we have by irani dachas, where they get killed by the sword, and the city gets destroyed. So what does that mean? Yochid miklal rabim lahachmir al gufoy. When we talk about a yochid versus rabim, means there's a chumrah as far as his body. He gets skila, which is a harsher punishment, as we learned in the previous parak. Everybody agrees that skila is harsher than hereg. You have whether it's skila is first and hereg is third, according to the chachamim, or second and fourth, according to Rabbi Shimon. Either way, it's harsher. Ula hokal amamoynai. On the other hand, it's a kula as far as his property that it doesn't get destroyed. Unlike by an Irani Dachas. Rabim Klau Yochid, Lahokalog go from Lahachmir Amamoinam. And then on the other hand, you have the Rabim versus the Yochid, where there's a chumrah on their body, there's a kula on their bodies because they get killed only with Sayif, which is a lesser punishment, but it's Machmir on their mumin because their mumin gets destroyed. We talked about before, or in the previous perek, we talked about a sicha where the Rebbe talks about what's the reason why the Irani Dachas gets hereg when normally a person worships Avodah Zarah gets skila. Why is it more lenient on them? The Rebbe brought there from the Rogachover that maybe once it was an entire city, then they have the din of goyim, and goyim, as we learned earlier in our perek, always get sayef, and the Rebbe doesn't like that explanation, and he says basically because it's a matter of their tzibur rather than a yochin, and a tzibur has different rules. That fits very well with our Gemara over here that we're saying that the Pasuk is saying that Rabbim are exempted from the Yochid. In any case, thus far the Braisa, so Abaya says, Bahom mil sahu deshaini, so the implication is only in that particular detail are they different, Ava bahom mili ki adorininu, but it sounds like regarding everything else, they're the same thing. Well, then, in that case, then what are you telling me? What are you telling me, Rabbi Yosef, that there's also a difference between the Rabbim and the Yochid, where one of them, once they say, I will worship, is already Chayiv Misa, and the other ones, when they say, we will worship, is not Chayiv Misa, because as a group, one of them is likely to change his mind and convince the other ones, or according to the Rabbim, the other way around, we see from this Braisa, the only differences between the Rabbim and the Yochid are the method of punishment and what happens to their mammon. So therefore, so you can't reconcile the two Mishnayos that way and say that our Mishnah that says that he has to worship means that we're talking about a Rabbim and the one later on in the Perek is talking about a Yochid. Ela, Omer Abaya. So rather, Abaya says here's a different way of reconciling the Mishnayos. Kan menissus mipi atzma, kan menissus mipi acherim. There's a difference whether he convinces himself or whether other people are convincing him. So he himself thinks to himself, you know what? It's a good idea to worship this Geshke, and I'm gonna go do that. So for example, he says Avoid versus so therefore our Mishnah, then just that is not enough to make him Chayiv Misa, because now we talked about before, there could be a case where he says I'm not actually accepting the Getchka until I actually worship it. So here it's a similar kind of thing. He's saying I will worship it, but he's not actually accepting it out as a Getchka yet, as his God yet, and therefore he's not Chayiv Misa yet. On the other hand, the later Mishnah can later on when it says he's chayv for saying Eved benissus mipi acherim, where he was convinced by other people. The difference is mipi atzmai mimlach, when he convinced himself, he's more likely to change his mind. Mipi acherim goder basrayhu, but when other people are convincing him, he's more likely to just go ahead, just go along with them. And Omer Abaye Menah Minolos. Abaye says, where do I get this distinction from? It's a logical distinction, but where do I have an actual source in a pasuk for this? So dichtiv, because the pasuk says like soiva loiva le sishma elov ha'ov of a shama chayev. Again, because the pasuk says don't pay any attention to him and don't listen to him, implying if he did accept what he says and he did listen to him, then he's chayev. So we see therefore that and that pasuk is talking on mesis. Somebody else is trying to convince you to do this. So if you're of a shama, then there's a problem. But in other words, Abaya says you see from the way the pasuk presents the case. Is that only accepting it makes him chayev, but for him himself to say, you know what, it's a good idea to worship a Getchka, then that itself wouldn't make him chayev until he actually goes and does it. Okay, that's one answer. Rava ma aidi va'aidi menissus mipi acherim. Rava says both Mishnayos can be talking about where there are other people convincing him. The difference is the one case we'll be talking about where the Mesis talks about him and tells him what this Getchka does. So he tells him, you should know, this is how this Getchka, he's talking in praise of the Avodah Zarah. This is how it eats, this is how it drinks, kach mativa, this is how it does good to people, kach maria, this is how it harms people. So then once he's hearing all these details about it, he's more likely to accept that that's true and to go ahead and worship it. Whereas, so that's the later Mishnah. The later, the our Mishnah is talking about where he didn't say that. He just came over to him and said, you know, how would you like to worship this Getchke? So just saying, sure, says Rava, is not enough to be Mechayiv him Misa yet. But with the other case where the person tells him, I want to tell you all the good things about this Getchke, and the other guy says, sure, then Rava says that would be enough to be Mechayiv him. By the way, even though Rava seems to be disagreeing with Abaya, in fact the halacha is like both of them. When a person is mesis himself, then he's taken out chayiv misa for it until he actually does it. And in addition, when it comes to somebody else being mesis him, then also the Riaz points these things out that both things are true. Both of them are la halacha. So Amar Rava Manam Minallah. So Rava says, where do I get my explanation that there's a difference whether the person is telling him the details, all the nice things about the Avodah Zarah? Because in that section about Mesis, the Torah says, the guy is trying to convince you to worship Avodah Zarah from any of the gods of the nations that are around you, who are near you or who are far away from you. So the question is, Mali Krovim, Mali Rechokim, why does the Pasuk need to specify the ones who are close or the ones who are further away? Because what the Pasuk is telling us, from the characteristics of the nearby ones, you can get an idea what the characteristics of the faraway ones. In other words, you may not know. You have an Avodah Zarah that they worship in another country hundreds of miles away. How would you know whether that Avodah Zarah is worth anything? Well, the Torah is telling you, listen, you know, you have the nearby Avodah Zarahs, you can see how useless they are, so you can realize the faraway ones are not any better. But the point is that Fakir, the Mesis, might be doing the other way around. So the Mesis might be trying to convince you to worship a faraway Getchke. So he's going to say, kach echeles kach shoy. He's going to try to convince you, listen, this Getchke eats and drinks and does other amazing things. So you're going to realize to yourself, listen, I know very well that the Krovim don't. I can see the Getchkes near me, and I can see they don't eat and drink. They stand there, like as Avraham Avinu explained to Terach. So the same way I know that the faraway one that he's trying to convince me of is also useless. Now, what would that mean? So that must be, in other words, what is the Mesis trying to do? Exactly like we just said, he's trying to convince you. He's saying, I know of this Getchke that they worship hundreds of miles away from here, and I want to tell you the amazing things that it does. So now you think to yourself, what an idiot. I know our nearby Getchkes don't, so I know that those faraway ones don't either. Therefore, says Rava. So you see that he's trying to convince you using that kind of thing, praising the Avodah Zarah. So Shmamina, therefore, that proves that that's the situation, that then, if now the Nisus replies to him and says yes, then that's reason enough to be Mechayiv him Misa. Because what are you telling him yes when what he's saying is so obviously false? As opposed to if he just said, that alone would be reason to be Mechayiv him Misa. As opposed to if the guy just says, hey, you want to worship Avodah Zarah, such and such, and you reply yes, that would be our Mishnah. Person's not yet Chayiv Misa for that, only if he actually goes and worships it. That's another answer. Rav Ashi, I'm a Sefer B'Yisrael Mumar. Rav Ashi says, here's another answer. The Sefer, the later Mishnah in our Perek, is talking about Yisrael Mumar, where previously he's worshipped Avodah Zarah. So now, once he said, Eved, I'm going to go worship Avodah Zarah, then already we know he's already been careless about this kind of thing. He's already worshipped Avodah Zarah before, and therefore for him saying Elach alone, he's Chayiv Misa. Obviously, if he was a mummer, why didn't we execute him until now? You could say, obviously, that until now there wasn't Eidim Vasra. So the point is, now, for the first time, there are Eidim Vasra when he says Ervoid, and therefore that's enough to be Mechayiv in Nisa. Whereas our Mishnah, we'd be talking about a Yid who has never worshipped Avodah Zarah before, and therefore him just saying, I'm going to worship Avodah Zarah is not enough. Ravina gives yet another answer. Loizu afzu katani. The Mishnah is telling us not only this, but also this. Our Mishnah is focusing on when he actually worships the Avodah Zarah, and how he's Chayiv Misa for that. And now the later Mishnah is saying not only if he worships it, but even if he just says, I'm going to worship it, is already enough to make him Chayiv Misa. Okay. So we have several different ways of reconciling the Mishnahs. So now the Gemara continues. Itmar. What if somebody worships an Avodah Zarah because of Ava or because of Yira? Now here you have a Machlokas Rishonim. What do we mean by Ava and Yira? Rashi explains it means that he He loves a particular person or he fears a particular person. So let's say, in other words, for example, this person tells him to worship Avodah Zarah. And he figures to go along with it because he loves that person. And I know, and then he's not really accepting it as an Avodah Zarah, as a god on himself, but he's saying, I love this guy, and therefore I'm gonna do him a favor and worship his Geshke. Or Meirah, where he's afraid that the guy might kill him. Now, Tosfos points out, if it's a matter of fear, he should be Moser Nefesh on it, as we're going to learn in the next perek. But nevertheless, we can say that if he wasn't Moser Nefesh, he's not Chayiv Misa. Then Tosfos talks about the other possibility is the Av of a Yira over here might be talking about not a well-accepted Avodah Zarah, but rather like we talked about on Amud Aleph, where a person is saying, worship me, and now he's going to worship him Av of a Yira. So you could talk about then, because it's not an established Avodah Zarah yet, then maybe we would say that, then maybe we could say that he's Potter for that. Anyway, the Rambam has a whole different explanation. The Rambam understands that me'av or me'ira means because, for example, it's a very beautiful statue, and therefore he wants to bow down to it. Or me'ira would be he's afraid of what he's been told, that this Geshke has the power to harm people, and therefore he's bowing to it out of fear. The Ravid very sharply argues with that and says, what are you talking about? I mean, if he thinks the Avodah Zarah has power, that is blatant Avodah Zarah. But nevertheless, that's how the Rambam holds. Anyway, so that's the question. It was me'av or me'ira. Abaya Oma Chayev, Rava Oma Potter. Abaya says he would be Chayev Misa for worshipping such an Getchke, or if it was Beshoigig, then he's bringing a Korban. Rava says he's Potter. Abaya Oma Chayev, Dra Polcha. Abaya says, look, he worshipped it, so therefore he's Chayev. Rava says he's Potter. So it's a whole Polcha, he actually worshipped it. But Rava Oma Potter, because Rava says, E Kibble Alei Beleka, if he accepted it as a god on himself, Ain, then yes, he's Chayev, Eloi, and if not, then Loi. Then the fact that he didn't accept it as an Avodah Zarah on himself, and he's only doing it, Me'avo Me'ira, of the other person who's convincing him, then therefore he'd be Potter. So Chayev, Rashi says, means either way. It means that b'mezid he'd be getting misa, and b'shoigig he didn't know. He thought such a thing as mutter, then he'd be bringing a chatas. And Rava would hold that either way, what he's doing is completely potter from misa or from a korban. So again, Tosfos says that the possibilities, maybe what we mean is, even though he should have been Moser Nefesh, maybe he's still Potter from Misa, according to Rava, or the other possibility is that maybe there we're talking about an established Avodah Zarah, and here we're talking about one which everybody does, Me'av over Yira, for example, Haman. Nobody was bowing down to Haman because they really thought he was a Getchke. People are bowing down to him because they wanted to curry favor with him, or because they were afraid of the consequences of bowing down to him. So that would be the kind of thing we would say, that maybe a person is not Chayev Misa for that, which, by the way, Tosfos points out, according to that, then it should come out maybe Mordechai should have bowed to Haman, if we're saying over here that there's no issue in it. So first of all, Tosfos says that first of all there's the famous Medrash that says that Haman had an idol on his chest, so therefore so bowing to him would actually be bowing to the idol. So fine, if it was maybe him himself, he's saying bow down to me as a Getchke, then fine, it would be like we said at the top of the Amud, people are just anybody who bows down to him is not sincerely doing it because they actually believe that he's a god. They're just doing it Me'av of a Yira, and in their hearts they're making fun of him. But here there's an actual idol over there. Also, Tosfos says that you have sometimes you have a person is allowed to be Moser Nefesh even when he's not strictly required to in Halacha. Here Mordechai found it necessary to show a public demonstration of Kiddush Hashem and to not bow to Haman, even though in principle, according to what Rava says over here, according to Tosfos, the second answer, he might have been allowed to. Okay. So Robert is saying only if he accepted as a god is he Chayav Misa or Korban, and otherwise not. So the Gemara says, Simon Eved Yishtach Vela Mashiach, a Simon for the following three proofs that Abaya is going to bring. The Simon for them is these words, Eved Yishtach Vela Mashiach, which literally means the slave will bow to Mashiach, which is a nice Simon in itself. Anyway, of Amar Abaya Menah Minala. So Abaya says, where do I get my opinion that even though it was Me'av or Me'ira, he's still Chayav Misa, or Chatos, as the case may be. The Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Ha'ovid Avodas Kechavim, Echad Ha'ovid, Chola, whether he worships the Avodah Zarah, then we said the different things that he does. So what do we mean, Echad Ha'ovid, my love, Echad Ha'ovid, Me'av or Me'ira? Doesn't it mean whether he worships it because of Av or Me'ira, not because he's actually accepting it as a god? And then the Mishnah goes on and lists the detailed things that he would do that would make him Chayav Misa. The Rava Amalach, Rava answers no. Like Kedim Taretz Rabbi Yirmiyah, as we had Rabbi Yirmiyah answered before, that means Echad Oved means that he does Then he does Kedarka, and then he does Kedarka for this particular Getchka, and then the Mishnah lists the four avodas that he's chayev, whether it's Kedarka or Shaloi Kedarka. So no proof from the Echad Oivin. Okay, Abaya tries again. I'm going to Abaya Menah Minallah. The Tanya, we learn in a Blaisa. The Pasuk says, Lois Ishtach Valahem, don't bow to them. Now, what does it have to say? To them. The Pasuk is already saying that. The pasuk is already saying that that you're talking about a Zorah. So it could say lois tishtachve, because we learn from that lahem iat mishtachve avlat mishtachve laodem kamoscha. You're not allowed to bow to them to getchkes, but you are allowed to bow to a person like yourself. Yochel afilu neved kahaman. Now you would think that applies even if people are actually worshiping him as a god like Haman, even if it is like Haman, where Haman is making himself into a god and demanding that people should bow down to him for that reason. So you would think that then you're still allowed to bow to him. Therefore, the pasuk continues, and don't worship them, because we don't need that pasuk, because we already know from other pasukim that you're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. So therefore, it means the person made himself an Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to bow to him. Now, the question is, Abaya says, the whole point was, nobody was bowing to Haman because they liked him. They were bowing to him out of fear, because and the Braisa is saying that you're not allowed to bow to him. So therefore, you see that Meira, it would be also. The Rava answers, when the Braisa is comparing to Haman, it means Kahaman v'loy Kahaman. It means it's a little bit like Haman, but not completely. Namely, the Braisa means to say, you can't bow to somebody who, like Haman, is an Avodah Zarah. In other words, you shouldn't think that maybe the issur is only to bow to statues or things like that. No, the issur is to bow to a living person as well. But v'loy kahaman, but not exactly like haman, de'ilu haman meyira v'hochalav meyira. Because when would it be? When it was a person also to bow to another person is when he's actually accepting him as his god. Here, by haman, nobody's accepting him as their god. They're only doing it meyira. So therefore, Rava says that's not what the b'raisa means, that a person would be chayev for that. The b'raisa is just comparing. In other words, you shouldn't think that maybe the issur of bowing never applies to a person who's an Avodah Zarah, and therefore the Braisa needs to tell you that yes. So no proof for you, Abaya. All right, Abaya tries again. Here was my third proof. The Tanya, Koyen Mashiach, the Koyen Gadol who was anointed with Shemen Amishcha. Now he has a particular din that if he makes a mistake in halacha, certain kinds of mistakes in halacha, then he's bringing a special korban, the par koyin mashiach that's described in parshas Vayikra, in about a year and a half, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to be learning about him at the end of this year, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to be learning about him in Masechta Horius. The din that applies only to a Kohen Mashiach, only when he was anointed with Shemen HaMishcha, not when once the Shemen HaMishcha was hidden away towards the end of the first Beis Mikdash. From then on, the Kohenim Gadolim are appointed by Merubah Godim. They put on the eight clothes of the Kohen Gadol and they do the Avoida. They don't bring the special korban. Anyway, Kohen Mashiach, the Braisa says, Ba'avodis Kechavim, if he made a mistake and mistakenly worshipped Avodah Zarah. So Rebbe Omer b'shigas ma'isa. So Rebbe says he would bring the korban only because because of the mistake in action. Meaning, in other words, now by the Kohen Gadol, usually it has to be, in order for him to bring a special korban, it has to be there was helam dover im shigas ma'isa. It has to be that he himself is a distinguished Talmid Chacham who's capable of paskening halacha. He mistakenly paskened that it's mutter, and then he went ahead and did it. Now, what about, we're talking about, he didn't mistakenly paskin that it was mutter. He just forgot. He didn't realize that this particular thing is osur. So Rebbe says, just the fact that there was shigas ma'isa is enough to make him chayiv in a korban. The Chum say he also has to have forgotten that there's an issu in Avodah Zarah and paskin accordingly. In other words, by Avodah Zarah, we would say the same. Everybody agrees, for example, let's say when it comes to Chelev or Shabbos or any of the other things that a person is chayev chatas for, that by a Kohen Mashiach there has to be Helam Dover im Shigas Maisa. The question is, does the same thing apply to Avodah Zarah? Where, by the way, by a regular person who worships Avodah Zarah b'shogeg, he's bringing a different kind of chatas than he would for other kinds of avodas. So does the same thing apply to a Kohen Mashiach? So that's the machlokes over here. V'shovin, but both Rebbe and the Chachamim agree, should be seira ki yochid, that he's bringing a female goat just like a yochid would in that case. When it comes to other korbanos, when it comes to other isurim for which a person brings a chatas, he has a choice of a female sheep or a female goat. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, it's always a female. It's always a female goat. So here, by even the Chachamim, even the Kohen Gadol, even the Chachamim who say that the Kohen Gadol needs Helam Dover, but still they would say the actual Korban is not going to be his special power Helam Dover Shal Tzibur, but rather a female goat like anybody else would. The Shoven chain may be Oshem Tolui, and also that both the Chachamim and Rebbe hold that a Kohen Gadol does not bring an Oshem Tolui where he's not sure if he did something that would make him Chayev Chatas. Normally a Yochid, for example, a Yochid ate Chalev, he's bringing a Chatas, and if he's not sure, if he had two pieces in front of him, one Chalev and one not, and he ate one of them and he doesn't, and the other one got lost, and so therefore he's not sure whether the one he ate Chalev was Chalev, he brings a Chatas, he brings an Oshem Tolui, and eventually if he finds out he ate Chalev, he's bringing a Chatas. Both of them agree that a Kohen Gadol does not bring an Oshem Tolui because the Rashi points out that the Gemara explains in Hodius based on that learns that from Sukkim. Anyway, so when we say that the Kohen Gadol, we're talking about the Kohen Gadol mistakenly worshipped Avodah Zarah, and again, according to Rebbe, we're not requiring that he actually made a mistake in Halacha. So Heichidomi, what's the scenario? Do you mean that, for example, he was in front of a building and he thought it was a shul, so he bowed there, and it turns out that it was a temple of Avodah Zarah? Well, then, of course, he had no intention. He intended to bow to Hashem, so therefore he wouldn't be chayav for bowing to Avodah Zarah in the first place. There wouldn't be any chiyuv chatos in the first place. Obviously, what we mean is he saw an image, he saw a statue, a monument of the king, and he bowed to it. Well, the question is, if he accepts that this king is his god, Mezidu, then he's amazing and he's Chayim Misa. There's nothing to talk about as far as a Korban. And if he didn't accept it as a god, he's just bowing in honor of the king, like Klumu, there's no problem. There's even a Gemara, I think, in Megillah, that talks about that there was a shul in Nahda, where they had a statue of the king like that, and great Chachamim would come and daven over there, because they're not bowing to the king, they're bowing to Hashem, and the king's statue happens to be there. So what would be the case where the person potentially would be chayav achatos? Elolav me avo meyira. So Abaya says it must be this case of avo meyira, where again he's doing it because he loves the king, or because he's afraid of what happens if he doesn't bow to the king. And we see therefore that he's chayav achatos for it. So therefore that's what Abaya is saying. But Rava amalach loy, but oim mutter. Rava says no, because the Braisa could be talking about where he thought that it's actually mutter to do this. And he thought that it's mutter to worship Avodah Zarah. Well, that's exactly the same thing as paskining wrongly, isn't it? And that was the whole point. Rebbe and the Chachamim are arguing whether that's necessary or not. The answer is, because the difference is, Oymer Mutter would mean he thought it's completely Mutter to worship Avodah Zarah. Helam Dover, when you talk about the Helam Dover that applies to a Kohen Gadol, Kiyum Mixas or Bitul Mixas. We're talking about where he keeps, where he knows part of it, but he's overlooking part of it. We're going to learn a Masechta Hodius in detail. Say, for example, the Kohen Gadol, the same thing applies to the Sanhedrin. If they were to paskin altogether, let's say that Chelev is Mutter or Shabbos is Mutter, that's not considered Helam Dover. But if they say, for example, certain kinds of Chelev are Mutter and others are Osir, or certain Malachas on Shabbos are Osir and certain ones are Mutter, that would be the kind of Helam Dover that we're talking about, where then if they go and follow it, then they're bringing the special Korbanos. So fine, so Rava says, so in this case over here, we're talking about why is the Kohen Gadol Potter from his regular korban, because there was no according to Rebbe that we don't require helam dover, because this that he forgot altogether, he thought altogether that he's allowed to worship Avodah Zarah, is not the definition of helam dover that we use in connection with a Kohen Gadol. But that still doesn't show that maybe. So Abaya is saying it has to be that he's bowing to the king's statue because Avodah Zarah. Rava says no, he could be equally well be doing it because he thought that it actually is mutter to do such a thing. Okay. So we have this machlokas Abaya and Rava, and as usual in Shas, the halacha is like Rava. So my Avodah Zarah, he is potter. Although, of course, also still to do that.